Grace to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. John 3 is such a fertile text, you don't know quite where to start. You could do the, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, recalling the old snake on a stick story. You could focus on, as the hymn just did, on the love of God for the world in the giving of the Son. I have tried a little bit different part of the text, the part which reads in the ESV and others, "This is the judgment." But I have come to read it as, "This is the crisis." Ever since I learned the barest of New Testament Greek, and I still regard mine as pretty scantily clad, I have enjoyed showing people the Greek word krisis because they can see how closely it resembles our word crisis. Three forms of the verb judge occur in the verse and a half before this noun and are translated most frequently with condemned. Now it's easy to see why, get the impression that John is building up toward this declaration. So I understand why English versions persist in translating the word as judgment. The language is assertive and makes no allowance for contradiction. Of course, that's uncomfortable, so some others have rendered krisis as the basis of judgment, and what follows describes that basis. But I think crisis fits quite well, because that's what the coming into the world of the Word who is with God and is God, the Word who became flesh, the only Son, triggers, a crisis. To be sure, we can trace the crisis back to a much earlier time, to the time when a sneaky snake asked one of us, "Did God really say?" The book of Genesis does not describe that occasion as a crisis. I don't even know whether biblical Hebrew has a word that would aptly be translated crisis. But that's what that question unleashed. And the whole world today lives in, with, and under the consequences of Adam's and Eve's response. John doesn't call the meeting between Jesus and Nicodemus a crisis, but isn't that what it is? Nicodemus doesn't seem far from the kingdom with his opening line, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." But perhaps there was a hesitation in his voice. It's not quite a confession of faith. He cannot quite take the next step. "You are God." Nicodemus faces a crisis. This is a "who do you say that I am" moment. Jesus' words about the kingdom of God can help Nicodemus, but they require, at the very least, a change in Nicodemus' way of thinking. The terms Jesus uses, born again, kingdom of God, water and spirit, confuse him. Some of the words occur in the Old Testament, but not like this. When Jesus refers to the bronze serpent episode as the point of comparison for what the Son of Man is to undergo, one could hope that Nicodemus gets it. But John denies that to us. When Jesus changed water into wine, the disciples believed in him. To his report of the cleansing of the temple, the evangelist adds the commentary that after the resurrection, Jesus' disciples remembered what he had said and they believed. Believing is an important element in John's gospel. When you come to the end of his work, you learn that the goal of his writing is that his reader will believe. But he doesn't tell us any such thing about Nicodemus here. In fact, Nicodemus disappears. He doesn't go away. He just vanishes from the narrative. And so the reader owns the crisis. The terms of the crisis shift to light and darkness. They are not new in John's gospel, but he brings them back to the forefront. Our inclinations are toward the darkness, where not only works of evil, but also worthless ones prevail. And we resist the light not only because it will expose our evil, but also our propensity to do things that make no positive contribution to our community, our society, our world. Things that are unprofitable, things that waste time and effort. The one who does what is true, however, does come to the light, where it is made plain about his works that they have been worked in or by God. Paul puts it this way: we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And the chief work of God in us is that we believe in the Son whom he sent. We are here because God has given us the gift of faith in Jesus by the work of his Spirit. We believe. For us, the crisis is past. Whoever believes in him is not judged. Jesus repeats that promise, that assurance, a while later. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment. He does not come into crisis. But we do not have to go far to find it, the crisis. Our world, our nation, our communities are in crisis. They prefer darkness to light. It often looks like the darkness is winning, overcoming the light, but it cannot. God says so, and I will believe the one whose word is Jesus. Maybe it's correct to say that we are in the crisis, but not of it. Our calling in the crisis of the world is to be light to the world, in order that people may see him who is the true light, who gives light and life to all people. May God grant us faith and faithfulness so to do. Amen.